This is the Uplink Marketing Podcast. Today's guest is John Horn. John is a managing partner at Stub Group, a premier Google partner ranked in the top 1% of all Google partners worldwide. John has taught digital marketing to 85,000 plus students online. He spends his days looking for ways to keep at the cutting edge of the digital advertising world, equipping the team at Stub Group to provide excellent service to their clients, and speaking with businesses looking for an effective PPC management solution. He lives and breathes PPC, and he could talk for hours about campaign types, bidding strategies, keyword structure, and so on. But what really excites him is figuring out how to use those technical abilities strategically for each client's unique scenario. I really enjoyed my conversation with John, and I hope you will too. Here we go. John, welcome to the Uplink Marketing Podcast.
Thank you, Evan. It's great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I didn't put these in the questions, actually. Could you introduce yourself to me and to our audience here and tell me a little bit about Stub Group? What does Stub Group do?
Absolutely. Yeah, so my name is John Horn, and I'm the CEO of Stub Group. And what Stub Group does is we're a digital advertising agency. We work with all types of different clients, businesses across most of the major marketing platforms. So Google, Facebook, Instagram, Microsoft, Amazon, so forth and so on. And we help our clients connect with customers online, find new customers, and ultimately bring in dollars to grow their bottom line.
Love it. That's really important in a business, find that margin and work with a company that can understand your business enough to know how to help you scale and scale profitably. So the first question I've got for you today is, why is it important for businesses to be online? That one seems like, you know, not many people need convincing in 2021 why you need to be online. So the other part of that that came to mind is, how do you decide where to show up online if you are convinced that you need to show up online?
Yeah, that's a question a lot of businesses ask us when they reach out to us looking for help. Often the context of advertising, but even outside of advertising, just where should we spend our time, our money, our resources on creating that online presence? And really, it depends on what type of business you are. So we talk and get into the weeds with them. So for example, let's say if they're a business that sells products, well, we want to be places where people are searching for products to be purchased. So Amazon obviously is a great place to be for that if the margins make sense. You want to be on Google because people are going to be Googling, searching for products. So Google shopping campaigns, obviously you want a good organic presence so that people can find you both organically as well as through paid campaigns you're running. Whereas let's say if you're a business that people aren't searching for what you offer or what you sell. Maybe you're a startup and you need to educate the market. Well, working on a fantastic Google presence or amazing Google campaigns may not be a great fit for you because people literally aren't searching for the thing that you do. So you might want to be on Facebook or Instagram and identifying the right people that you want to target and then educating them about your brand or your product, your service, and then starting to also create that traffic that then you can start to capture down the road as people know about you and then start to search for your website or search for your product and so forth.
You mentioned margins, and so I'm curious about that. This is a conversation that comes up a lot as I talk with clients and potential clients. How do you know if you have enough margin on your product or service for a specific campaign online, a digital campaign, so pay-per-click or organic search, search ads? So mm-hmm. How do you know, what kinds of questions do you ask your clients to know if they have enough margin to make a specific campaign worth it?
Well, the first question is, what is your margin? Because I can't tell you how many clients will reach out to us looking for help. And we ask them, great, well, how much money do you make on your product or service? And you're like, yeah, I don't know. So first of all, you just got to figure out, what are those numbers? What are your hard costs? If it's an actual physical product or even if it's a service, what can you afford to spend to acquire a new customer? And then also we try and help our clients think not just that initial transaction, but what's the lifetime value of that customer. For some, you know, for some businesses, there is no lifetime value. They're selling a widget one off, and once that's sold, there's no more value to that customer. But for most businesses, there's going to be some kind of lifetime value, either repeat purchases or word of mouth referral or subscription, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. So we want to look into those numbers, look at the averages for a business, especially if they've been in business for long enough to have those averages, to try and get a sense for, hey, what is it worth, you know, spending initially, again, to acquire a new customer based upon what we're going to make over the lifetime of that new customer. So try to figure out those numbers. And then from there, it's not, you know, certainly not as simple as, hey, I know we can get X ROAS from Google or X ROAS from Facebook. Obviously, there are so many factors and variables that play into that, that we start off with our best guess and kind of benchmarks. And hey, here's what we typically see. Here's normal conversion rates in your industry. So based upon this and your price point and your margins, here's a realistic return on ad spend to, you know, target. And then we start running and collecting data and seeing what works well, what doesn't work well, cut the waste, double down on what's driving that profitable return on ad spend, and then scale those campaigns, whatever platform that is. Amazon, of course, a little bit simpler when it comes to identifying margin, because they're going to tell you, here's the percent cut that we take from sales. And then you have, you know what that number is to work with. Certainly, if you're going to run some advertising campaigns, some PPC campaigns on Amazon, then you have to factor that into your ROAS as well. But really, it's, again, figure out what are your margins and then work with somebody who has some benchmarks and can advise you on where is there potential to be profitable.
Love it. Okay, so let's say there's potential to be profitable on Facebook and Google and Amazon. It's important that people keep a good relationship with those companies and they abide by the standards and practices that those companies have put in place. We've seen in recent years, it's very easy for companies to lose all of their revenue overnight because they do something that doesn't abide by Google standards or Facebook standards. So do you have any advice for a business that has the margin to stay on the good side of these companies that are selling ad spaces online?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a question that, again, we're asked all the time of businesses reaching out who have made some of those mistakes and gotten on the bad side of Google or Facebook. And they're saying, yeah, what did we do? How did we fix it? It's also something that we're constantly talking about with our existing clients internally, which is how do we mitigate accidentally doing anything that's going to create problems for us? Because the reality is it's super easy to accidentally violate a policy for Google or Facebook, or sometimes not even violate a policy, but do something that triggers the algorithm to think that a policy may have been violated, and you get that ad disapproved, or worse yet, you get your account suspended. And once that happens, it's super hard to come back from that because of the way the processes and systems are set up for both Google and Facebook. So a couple of practical recommendations I would give to businesses. First of all, it's obvious, but just don't do shady stuff. If you try to do shady stuff, you're going to get caught. Google, Facebook, et cetera, invest billions of dollars into catching all of the fly-by-night operators that are out there. So don't do it. Even if you see somebody seemingly getting away with it, it's usually just a matter of time before they're going to get caught. So A, don't do anything shady. B, and I'm going to be biased here because obviously I have a team of experts that I work with, but I'm going to say work with an expert in the space if you are running advertising or getting started, because it is so easy to accidentally do something that triggers that automated, you know, algorithmic process. It's not even that someone is sitting over at Google and Facebook and looking at your account and saying, oh, that's bad. It's an algorithm that's been trained by all kinds of different, you know, problems it's seen, mistakes it's seen, policy violations it's seen. And sometimes stuff that legitimate advertisers do looks very, very similar, has similar patterns to that. So I'd say, you know, if you can, definitely work with an expert. I would also say be super careful when it comes to creating accounts, whether they be Google Ads accounts or Facebook ad accounts. And this is something that I see as a very common mistake with businesses who reach out to us. All kinds of scenarios. Let's say a freelancer is creating a bunch of different accounts for clients they work with, or a business, they have a new marketing team member come on board who didn't realize they had an old Google Ads account and they create a new one. Well, what that does is when you have multiple Google Ads accounts with similar billing information or pointing to the same website or sometimes even just the same user on a bunch of different accounts, that can trigger Google's algorithms to think that something suspicious is going on. And then Google will just suspend everything. And suddenly you've technically done nothing wrong. You haven't actually violated a policy, but you've triggered the system. And now you're kind of stuck in Google purgatory or Facebook purgatory. And it's super hard to get out of that. So anybody listening to this, if you're going to create a Google Ads account or a Facebook ad account, just be really careful about it. Know any other accounts that might exist. Don't create an account that you don't need. And you may save yourself a world of pain.
Yeah. Well, so there's a sub question I want to get to off of this one, which what are the quickest ways you've seen people get on the bad list? And you've talked about a couple of those mm-hmm. there. Are there any others? And then before I get to that question, you're emphasizing something that it's near and dear to my heart as well, working at an agency, which is encouraging people to work with experts in the field, encouraging people to work with agencies. There are ways to work with agencies like Stub Group, Uplink Marketing, that can actually maximize your profitability by keeping you away from these hassles, essentially, these what feel like hoops that you have to jump through that are just a part of what an agency does on an ongoing basis. So I love that you're bringing that up. And that's a really good point. It shows value for what agencies are doing. And so, do you have anything to say on that specifically? And then if not, let's jump into what are the quickest ways to get on the bad lists for those companies?
Yeah, totally. Well, what I'll often tell clients is if you're going to file your taxes with the IRS, yes, you can do that yourself. You can go through all of it, but you're probably going to get an accountant who knows what they're doing and who knows how to prevent you from being in a bad place if an audit comes up. Sometimes it feels the same way working with Google or Facebook or some of these platforms. You really don't want to mess up. And so there's just a lot of value an expert can provide on the policy compliance side, certainly, as well as, like you said, with just performance, not wasting tons of money on ad spend, so forth and so on. When it comes to how to easily, quickly get on the bad side, there are so many ways. Some I see is as simple as using a redirect on your website. So people will think, hey, maybe let's put in like a Linktree link in my ad so that people will click on my ad and see a bunch of different options to get to my website or my LinkedIn or whatever. Sometimes it'll be simple as, hey, we have two different business domains and this one redirects to that one, but I used the one that redirects in the ad. And that's just a blatant violation of Google's policy, and they'll catch that and suspend your account for doing that. So that's a common one. Like I mentioned, having multiple accounts with, say, shared billing information or, you know, same website that's being advertised in multiple accounts, that's a very common one. And another one on the e-commerce side of things is there are a lot of policies that Google wants to see in place when it comes to refunds and returns and shipping and payment methods and different things. And if you don't have those correct policies and have them worded in the correct way on your website, I see tons of Google Merchant Center accounts get suspended. And that's what feeds the product data into Google Ads accounts to run shopping campaigns. And then sometimes the ads accounts that are connected will get suspended just because the Google Merchant Center account is suspended. So basically, if you're an e-commerce company, you want to very, very carefully read through all of Google's policies and information about what policies you need to have on your website. And then you need to exactly match that information within your Google Merchant Center. So everything is copacetic, looks perfect, is correct to customers who are using your website, and therefore correct to Google when they review that website.
Things are changing fast every day. How do you keep up with what's changing? And can you share anything that you're seeing that's changing when it comes to this digital advertising landscape?
Yeah, that's one of the beauties of our space is there's always something new. What worked yesterday may not work today, but what didn't work yesterday may work today. So constantly testing, iterating, seeing what works well. In terms of new services, you know, for keeping up on things, we're always talking with our teams at Google or Facebook. We're looking places like search engine land to see, hey, what's going on in the industry? What are other agencies and teams seeing? And we're also trying to share information internally across all of our team members and clients to say, oh, hey, we saw this in this account over here. Here's a new feature. Hey, let's try this out across these other accounts, this new strategy. So really it's just the process of educating ourselves, trying to keep on top of what's changing. Some of the things I'd say, some of the market trends that I see are A, on the actual execution, kind of logistical side of running campaigns on Google or Facebook or other platforms, they're very much pushing towards automation. And this isn't new. This is something that has been going on for a long time and will continue to take place. But whether it's the types of campaigns you can run or the bidding strategies that you can use, Google and Facebook and everyone are constantly pushing towards more machine learning, removing some of those manual components, manual control, and letting the algorithms figure things out. And that's something that I know a lot of agencies are concerned about because of the perception that, well, this is what we get paid to do. And if the machines take over, you know, how are we going to get paid? And I don't share that same concern, to be honest with you. The way that I look at it is the specifics of what we do as agencies certainly will change and have already changed from, say, 3 years ago. But there's still always going to be that need for strategic help for, okay, well, where should we be spending our money? What should we be targeting? Are we feeding accurate conversion data into the automated strategies that are then going forth and trying to find us new clients or find us profitable return on ad spend? Because really that automation, it builds upon the foundation. So if you have a great strategic foundation and you're feeding it great data, then it can go and do amazing things. If you have a shoddy foundation, you're feeding it bad data, it's just going to exponentially increase that and waste a ton of money. So with my team members, I'm always talking about, hey, we're no longer button pushers. In the past, sometimes we kind of were button pushers, tweak this bid here, tweak that keyword here. And there's still some of that certainly that happens, but really we are strategic partners for the businesses that reach out to us in looking big picture at where should we be spending money? What types of campaigns and strategies should we be running, so forth and so on. And working as a kind of a partner in that space with our clients. So that's a big trend that I see happening for sure.
I love your positive outlook on that. You take change, which is inevitable. You know, the saying is the only thing that is constant is change. So it's going to happen. Automation we're making progress with our technologies. So instead of trying to resist that, your mindset is very open and embracing of the change that's happening in the way that you're looking at it. And I like to think too that automation, these companies, I tell clients, these companies are for-profit companies. Facebook needs to make money. Google needs to make money. They're not going to be making changes that are going to make you want to stop spending your money with them. The changes that they're going to make are going to be to optimize performance for businesses who are doing it right. So if you're doing it right, if you have all these things set up, your performance will increase. And if you're working with somebody who can think strategically, it's going to eliminate people getting on there spending money on gimmicks. So you're not going to be competing with gimmicks anymore. You're going to have a competitive advantage because you're doing it right and you're thinking about it right. And these algorithms are in place to get you to spend more money. And the only way you're going to spend more money is if you're making more money. And Facebook knows that. Google knows that. So I think the change is maybe not always good, but necessary to get us to a place where there's a competitive marketplace for businesses using these technologies.
Yeah, that's a great point. I 100% agree with that.
Cool. Okay. Any other trends that you're seeing? I think that one's great. I've seen that with the performance with lookalike audiences and Facebook. They're pretty spot on. But any other trends you see before we move on?
Yeah, one we're definitely dealing with right now, and you've probably gotten to deal with this as well, is the whole iOS 14 update and how that is impacting attribution and remarketing. It's been in the news recently. You know, Snapchat came out talking about how that's impacting their ad revenue. I think their stock dropped after they announced that, and Facebook may have dropped a little bit as well. That's something that is an ongoing conversation and exploration internally and with our clients, is identifying the impact of losing much of that attribution across iOS devices and figuring out, okay, how do we react to that? Where do we still keep spending our ad dollars? You know, are there cookie-less options that we can transition to still try and have a measure of retargeting and attribution? And so that's certainly a very present conversation, and is just going to continue to be the conversation as the trend is to move away from cookies and to change kind of the core foundation of attribution and how we track as digital marketers success and users across devices. So I'm confident we're going to figure it out. There's too much money at stake, honestly, from all the big players to not figure it out. The exact logistics will change and have changed already, but at the end of the day, we'll figure it out and we'll keep being able to serve, you know, targeted, relevant advertising to people to make the most effective use of that ad spend that we're entrusted with by our clients.
Yeah, no, that's great. Something I've said along the lines with the iOS 14 thing, again, these companies, there's too much money at stake for it to just not work anymore. The other thing is it kind of puts us all back on a more level playing field, no matter how much money you're spending on these platforms. So the companies that Uplink is working with are not massive Fortune 500 companies. So in like these changes are happening for Coca-Cola and Microsoft too. And so there's a level playing field here that I think can be helpful for some small to mid-sized businesses. And so there is kind of the silver lining with these changes as they're happening. So again, yeah. I love your positive mindset with the changes and trends that you're seeing. This is something fun. I didn't send you this one before. Do you have any predictions? It's always fun to make predictions. If you make enough of them, right, a few of them will come true. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. But do you have any predictions that are maybe out there, predictions for what you're seeing 5-10 years down the road, how we'll be interacting with this technology and what agencies may look like?
Yeah, that is a great question. And I'll probably look back on this conversation 5 years ago and say, wow, I had no clue. I didn't know what I was talking about, which is probably true. Right. I'd say some things that I see kind of clearly coming down the pipeline, and the writing's already on the wall here, is when it comes to, say, new platforms that have picked up incredible speed and will continue to do so. TikTok is becoming massive, and I easily see that starting to replace Facebook and potentially Instagram in the near future for many brands, as they see, hey, it's just, this is where people are at, especially people who are targeting the demographics and age range that are, you know, most heavily on TikTok. We've already seen some of our clients starting to test those waters and move in that direction. Amazon as well is just going to keep continuing to be a bigger player, not only in the e-commerce space, the actual channel space, but I think in the advertising space as well. They're making big pushes to be viewed as an ad platform, a channel. Their partnership with the NFL, I know, is something that they're using right now to leverage in their own ad campaigns to say, hey, we're a great place to be serving ads. And when you look at the numbers and how their ad business is growing percentage-wise compared to, say, Google or Facebook, while they don't yet have a big market share, that number is just growing dramatically year over year. So I think they're going to become a bigger player even in the kind of display ad space. And they have so much data, they know so much about us. And again, it's within their platform, which is one of those beauties of, they don't really have to worry about iOS 14 because it's all their first party data that they know about their customers. And so they can leverage that to serve targeted advertising. So I see that being significant. And I think we don't know yet, certainly, but it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Google and with Facebook and some of these other larger platforms with all of the legalities that are in question right now with the antitrust lawsuits and investigations. If we see a scenario where they are forced to break apart into separate channels and into separate companies, then that's going to really shake things up and I'm sure create opportunities for those who can figure out how to leverage that. Again, anytime there's change, there's ways to leverage that change to be at the cutting edge for, you know, for your clients. So I don't know what that looks like. I don't pretend to be a prophet there, but I think that could be one of the biggest changes that could happen in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on diversified search engines? So Google's dominated the space where people search for anything for a very long time. And so I see in my own life, I'm always trying to look at myself and how I'm interacting with technologies and then see if I can observe that other people are doing the same thing or if they're seeing the same thing. And I found myself not using Google as much as my first go-to, depending on what it is that I'm searching. So if it's a product that I need for the house, I go directly to Amazon and just do a search. If it's information, if I'm wanting to get information or learn something, I go directly to Spotify and search on Spotify and look for a podcast that talks about that topic. So, and then obviously there's the privacy and the information that's being shown. Companies like DuckDuckGo will show you different results than whatever you get on Google. Do you have any thoughts just in general on diversified search engines and what that's going to look like as we move into the future?
Yeah, I love competition. I love having options and alternatives because it makes everyone do a better job and it holds everyone accountable. So I love the fact that there is DuckDuckGo, that Brave is working on their technology, that Bing exists and continues to exist. I think the way I look at it is there's going to be a segment of the population who are early adopters or who are very privacy oriented, who are going to jump on that type of thing. And DuckDuckGo, as a good example on the privacy side of things, has seen fantastic growth from people who care about that. But still, if you look at the raw numbers of how many people use DuckDuckGo versus Google, it's a penny compared to a gold mine at this point. And I still think that most of us are going to be creatures of habit and convenience. So I still think that most people are going to continue to use Google until it becomes inconvenient to do so. If it takes a couple extra steps to get there because it's no longer the default in Safari, for example, or fill in the blank. I think we're just gonna default to what we're used to, and it's convenient.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that's made me not use Google as much is the lack of relevancy on the first page. So if I do search something on Google, I'm like, okay, let me try to search a different keyword. Like I've got to do more work to find what it is I'm actually looking for. So it'll be interesting if that changes at all. Okay. So every podcast, John, we end the interview with why is marketing important? So I'm going to throw that over to you. Why is marketing important?
Yes, great question. At its core, marketing is connecting with customers, finding new customers, even creating trust in existing customers. And without that, you don't have sales. Without sales, you quickly don't have a business. So you're not going to succeed in most cases as a business without good marketing. And again, what is marketing? That doesn't just mean an ad campaign. That could be the packaging in which you put a product. That can be the email copy that you use when you communicate with your clients. So many different aspects that go into branding and marketing. But without that, no sales, no business.
Yes, it does seem as though without marketing, a business entity itself wouldn't exist. Because the more I ask myself that question, it does lead me to the question, what is marketing? And you described that well. Essentially everything you do to present what you offer to the world. So that's great. John, thank you again. How can people find Stub Group? Is there anything else you'd like to say to people as you leave the interview here or as we wrap up our interview?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thanks for having me on. Anybody listening, if you want to check us out, stubgroup.com is our website. We do a free advertising evaluation. So if you want to chat with one of my team members about your business and do some market research or an audit or whatever, feel free to reach out through there and love to connect.
Love it. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Evan.
Thanks for listening to the Uplink Marketing Podcast. Remember, you can download our free marketing assessment at uplinkmarketing.com/free. Until next time.